Daniel chapter 9, hear now the word of our Lord. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the numbers of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are afar off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faces, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not done us hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renowned, as at this day we have sinned, and we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins, and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to them that are about us. Now therefore, O God our Father, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken, and do defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make the end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, and understand, that from going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah of peace shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people, the prince that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cease the sacrifice, and the oblation shall cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Amen.
This morning, I feel like I'm at a horrible disadvantage since Max, Howard, Julius, and even Inger over there have asked me several times since I came back from Florida when you're going to stir the controversial pot again. Thank goodness I have somebody like Dave up here in front, and even Tim. This is a true story. I shook hands with Tim this morning. I said, "How are you?" He said, "I'll let you know after you get done." That's a true story. Ask him. At least those two are willing to hear me out before they call me controversial. I tell those men, I don't plan to be controversial. It just comes natural, it seems like. Needless to say, though, I will not disappoint them with the subject this morning. I enjoy the lighthearted humor that we have among us as we get here early in the morning. However, starting at this point in our service, I do want you to know that I do not take it lightly. Standing up here, it is my desire to say everything that the Holy Spirit would have me say. It may not agree with everything, but I want to do what the Holy Spirit wants me to say. I would like to have a short study on Daniel 70 weeks. Now listen carefully. I'm aware that the Bereans' position on this subject, and I respect it, and I understand the position that they have taken, and I certainly do not this morning plan to dispute their position. However, I do believe Scripture does bear out a few facts that could, or maybe should, be considered that do not totally agree with the Bereans' position. Now, before we can start, or I've studied this quite extensively in Florida. I don't mean that I know the answers, but I would like to share some of my thoughts with you this morning, if you'd like, let me. Before we can start, we need to have a short word study before we start on this book of Daniel 70 weeks. You notice over there on the blackboard, and I don't know where you can see it too well, but you have the word here, number one word, kareth in Hebrew. So you didn't get all the lesson before I started, I didn't put the answer in. In English, it means to cut. Can you read that? To cut. And sometimes you can say cut off. Okay, you read that all right? You can probably read what it says behind it there. This Strong's and Chaldee dictionary renders this word to cut, and by implication only, means to destroy or consume. I got to go over that once again. By implication only, It means to destroy or consume. That is, it is not, I got it circled, necessarily a fact. Now, this particular word is used 200 times in the Old Testament. It is a well-established principle of word study that words get their meanings from usage. This particular word is a classic example that the usage does not always substantiate the definition given. Let's turn to the scripture for the usage of this word. Now, as we start in here, note we will confine our interest in this usage of this word in the context of either destroy or consume versus separate from something. Two ways. 54 times the word was used as killing. And obviously, that fits Strong's description perfectly. However, this word careth is used 30 more times as another meaning. It has another meaning, such as being separated or divide or from its people, in other words, or separated from the land, or being separated or divided from something else, from another item. That is to say here, destroying or killing is not the intent whatsoever. So I hope you understand my thoughts here this morning. Careth does have two meanings. Turn to Exodus, 4th chapter, that's page 78. Exodus 4, verses 25, page 78. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, "Surely a bloody husband art thou to me." Now, circumcision was required of all males in Israel. Obviously, nothing was destroyed. It simply was cut. There is no implication whatsoever of destruction in this word careth here in this passage. Now, if you will, go over a couple more pages to Numbers, page 198, 13th chapter, and the 23rd verse, page 198, Numbers 13, 23. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down, in other words, careth here, from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Now, we see the word here, careth, again, cutting off the branch with grapes. They carried that branch with grapes back to camp. The idea was to preserve the branch with the fruit, not to destroy. Got that? Let's go to Proverbs, page 868. Proverbs, page 868. We're going to read the last two verses in that particular thing, 21 and 22. Proverbs 2, 21 and 22. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the perfect shall be careth, cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Question here, are the wicked destroyed, or are they just removed from the land? Well, the answer to this particular passage concerned the millennium, reign of Christ, when the wicked Jews came to the land of Israel to get inside the land, and they were turned away. They were turned out into the land with the Gentiles. They were not destroyed. If you will, back up to page 754, I'd like for you to turn to Psalms 37th chapter, 22nd verse. Psalms 37:22, page 754. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be careth, cut off. Now this verse is not about life or death, but is between those who shall inherit the land and those who shall be cut off from the land, no evidence whatsoever that they will be destroyed, just not allowed in the land. Now, if you will, I want to go back to Numbers, page 208. You might wonder why didn't you pick up Numbers when you was there in the first place? Well, that's to keep somebody like Nikki awake, so that if I had to give it all at once there, she may get sleepy. Go to page 208, Numbers 19. It would help if I'd stay awake too. Can't find it either. 208, I want to go to Numbers 19, verse 13. Whosoever touches the dead body of any man that is dead, and purify not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. And that soul shall be careth, cut off, from Israel. Because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him, he shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. Note the last sentence I read there of this verse says, uncleanliness remains on him. What's that mean? That means, obviously, he must have remained alive, not destroyed. Correct? Back up just a little more to page 88. I didn't know if I had to do that twice, so I backed up to 88. Exodus 12th chapter, 15th verse. 12:15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be careth, cut off from Israel. The fact that he is cut off from Israel means just that, and no more. No scriptural reason to assume that this person will be destroyed. I could go on for more examples. I think I've shown you that it is obvious. Scripture does bear out that the word careth does not always mean or imply destruction or consumption. Now, with this knowledge in your mind that we just read, turn to Daniel 9, that's page 1199, or chapter 9 that Dave read for us here, chapter 9, page 1199, and I just want to read with just what I've told you about the word careth. I just want you to read the 26th verse real quick. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be what? Careth, but not for himself. You ever hear the announcers on basketball once in a while? A team won 180-20. 140-50, and the next time they got skunked that bad, and the next time they won that bad. What's the announcer sometimes say? Wonder which team's going to show up, right, tonight? That's what the question I like to ask you here to just consider this morning. What careth showed up here in this verse 26? What careth showed up? Well, if you want to know what the Companion Bible says, I don't think you got time to read it, but if you drop down into the paragraph when you get home tonight, this afternoon, you can read it. But I'll tell you what the Companion Bible said, or refers to, or states. This word means death. That's what the Companion Bible says. This word means death. And then gives the references. You can read them when you get home. Genesis 9:11, Deuteronomy 20:20, Jeremiah 11:19, and Psalms 37:9. Now, I'll tell you, before you get home to reading, read those verses. Every one of those verses are from the 54 that I told you when we first started. Does mean cut off, careth, does mean death. Now, to help prove the point, the Companion Bible wants you to compare it to a scripture in Isaiah 53:8. Turn to 9:9:9. 9:9:9, Isaiah 53:8. 9:9:9, Isaiah 53:8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land, out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Now, the word cut off there, you see that word cut off? That's not careth. That's Gazar. That's Gazar. Ditto. Means cut. Now, if you go to the dictionary on that, Chaldee dictionary on that, says death, period. It is a fact. Death, period, a fact. That's a little different than what we had in the beginning. Okay, I want to change, tell you that the rendering this word, meaning death, no implication, in my opinion, I don't think that the Companion Bible was completely 100% correct. In my opinion, they did not compare exactly apples with apples, only part apples. So you say, Elton, what's the big deal? Who cares? Well, there's a big deal to me. Maybe it isn't to you. The Hebrew language does have a word for cut off that means death. It does have a word, and that's what the word is, Gazar. This group here this morning, do you think surely the Holy Spirit must know the difference in the meanings of these two words? What would your guess be? I believe the Holy Spirit used the different words for two very different events. Now I want to go back to 11:99, Daniel. 11:99, and we're just going to read one verse again. We'll be doing that a couple times. 11:99. I want to read the 26th verse here. And after 62 weeks, shall the Messiah be cut off. And the word here is careth, not Gazar, but not for himself. Now, I believe that this word here, careth, was used for the risen Christ being cut off, being rejected, and not for himself. To me, it makes no sense to have the Messiah being cut off if it meant death here, but not for himself. I believe that it was written here for the risen Christ that will be cut off and rejected, and he has nothing, but that's at the end of the Acts period. Now we'll get off of that subject just a little bit. I want to read Daniel 9:25-26 real quick, just like David read. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 2 weeks, the street shall be built again, the wall, even the troubles time. And after 2 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Okay, here, maybe I do not understand Scripture very well. That was a bad statement. There are several think that I don't understand it very well. But to me, this commandment is very clear. Know and understand that from means it has a beginning at a specified place or beginning at a specified time. That's what the word from means. Okay? It says from, that's an exact period of time, from the commandment. From, to me, does not mean many years later, many minutes later. It meant from the commandment. Now we must note that the sending forth of this decree is described in Nehemiah, the 2nd chapter, verses 7 through 9. And there is no doubt that Israel was lo am I at that time. We simply cannot change a statement that is so clear without doing a great service to God's, disservice to God's word. Let's stop here a minute. Maybe we should look and get a better understanding of the term lo am I. The prophecy that Israel would become lo am I is found in Hosea 1:9. It says, then the Lord said, call him, lo am I, for you are not my people, and I'm not your God. Now that particular prophecy was fulfilled approximately 100 years later, after it was given. Then it was fulfilled again when Israel became lo am I at the end of the Acts period. That is to say, that particular prophecy had a double fulfillment. Now let's go to what I just mentioned we ought to study. Let's take a quick minute here and compare. I'd like for you to compare lo am I period Old Testament verses or with the lo am I in the New Testament. During the Old Testament lo am I period, Daniel wrote his prophetic book. Also, during lo am I period, Nehemiah, Esther, and Ezra, were written during lo am I period. All four books during lo am I period. God appeared to Daniel in the form of a pre-incarnate Christ during lo am I period. There were miracles performed, such as Daniel in the lion's den during the lo am I period. You remember the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That happened during the lo am I period. So there was not complete silence in lo am I period during the Old Testament. Now let's look at the New Testament period of Israel, lo am I period. No prophecies being written, very little or maybe no prophecies being fulfilled. Christ is appearing to no one. No miracles such as Daniel's time. Well, it is very clear to me that Old Testament period of lo am I is not a carbon copy, not identical to New Testament period of lo am I. In short, the New Testament is a more profound fulfilling of the lo am I prophecy of Hosea than the Old Testament was. Therefore, this is just my opinion, we must not attempt to force the same conditions in the Old Testament lo am I period as we see in the New Testament lo am I period. In other words, I see no reason to rewrite Daniel 9:24, which tells us that the command began while Israel was a Lamanite. Now, the most widely accepted view of Daniel's 70 weeks is that the Kerareth, cutting off of the Messiah, the Prince, was the crucifixion of Christ. If that would be true, why did not the prophetic clock not stop at the cross? There is no scriptural evidence that tells us that the prophetic clock stopped at the cross. However, it is abundantly clear that when Israel was set aside at the end of the Acts period, that caused the clock to stop. Dave, Erica, and Grant, will you pass these three, this out? Did I get the right, is it Grant or Parker?
Grant.
Will you pass them out? I won't ask Pete to pass them out. He's disgusted enough right now without getting in on that. I'll talk a little while he's passing them out. These diagrams are just exactly what I've been talking about this morning. I just put them on paper, put it on the diagram. They reveal the same thoughts that I conveyed, whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. It's just on paper, and then we'll once again turn to the scripture on Daniel 9:25 after they get them gone out here. Know therefore, understand that from the going forth of commandment to restore to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. The street shall be again a wall in troublous times. All right, you heard it enough. We read here that it takes, in my opinion, 7 weeks to rebuild the city. And that's what I got on the diagram there. And from that time unto the Messiah the Prince, another 62 weeks. This is at the time the Messiah the Prince would be making his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. So all total, so far we have completed 69 weeks. Now let us read verse 26. And after 62 weeks. Okay. After. Dictionary says eventually, ultimately, no hint of a specified time. That's what the word after means. Now, let me find my place here now after I walked over there. The key words in this verse that I just read is after and cut off. I will remind you real quickly, the word Gezer was not in here. It's Kerareth. Gezer was not used, which definitely means to kill or destroy. The Holy Spirit chose to use the word Kerareth for cut off. And we've already discussed here this morning it has two meanings. Either kill or consume, or it means to separate. You notice I don't have the cross there in my diagram. The cross, death had nothing to do with this in my opinion. Now, after here means exactly what it says. No time is stated when. However, if you read the companion Bible when you get home, down at the bottom it says presumably, I say it's presumably said, it must surely be either immediately or very soon after the Messiah was presented and proclaimed in Jerusalem as a prince. I respectfully don't agree with that, but that doesn't mean that the companion Bible is wrong. I would like to point out that verse 25 that we just read is very explicit in pointing out seven sevens and then 62 more sevens from, as we got up here on the blackboard, the issuing of the decree unto the Messiah, the Prince, or the Anointed One. However, we read in verse 26, after the 62 sevens, the Anointed One will be cut off. And after, I reiterate one more time, is a very indefinite period. In fact, if it were meant to be just a few days, in my opinion, as the Companion Bible suggests, it would still have been 62 weeks, no question. However, that being the case, the word after, I don't believe would be correct. I believe that the Holy Spirit could have and would have written it thus: in 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off. A definite period of time. It did not read that way. So I think it really means something different than just a few days. You can see by the diagram that I believe the after period of time, now we know, is at the end of the Acts period, not the crucifixion. This is the time that the Messiah is kereth, cut off, rejected, and then he has nothing. I believe there's another proof that the cutoff did not mean crucifixion and that the Messiah was cut off from Israel at the end of the Acts period, because verse 25 tells us it will be 69 weeks from the going forth of the commandment until the Messiah, the Prince. But verse 26 tells us that the Messiah will be cut off after 62 weeks. Note, have we a problem? He can't have been cut off before he came. Do we have a discrepancy? No. Or is there something here for us to learn? I believe there is. The verse is 20, verse 25 speaks of 69 weeks between the commandment to rebuild and from to rebuild and the Messiah. Those 69 weeks, the counting began from the commandment while Israel was still Oamai. But when verse 26 speaks of the 62 weeks after which he will be cut off, those 62 weeks are from the time that the city was rebuilt, the temple had been dedicated, that is to say, when Israel was no longer Lo-Ami and were God's chosen people. Now, note, this does not imply that the dispensation of mystery was not fully hid in God. While it is true that the mystery could not have been revealed until Israel had been set aside, the mystery itself was only that Israel would be set aside, but was not only that Israel would be set aside, but that all nations and all people would be together, equal bodies, no favored nation, no favored people, but with Christ, the head of the body. Someone might ask then, how does the Acts period fit into the 70 weeks? Well, first, I believe that the reason for the difficulty in understanding this passage comes because most people have assumed that the Holy Spirit really meant to state the prophecy in years. That is to say, 490 years. He did not state the prophecy in years. He chose rather to put it in a specific order, terms of sevens. I believe that if we take this passage quite literally and not assume that the entire prophecy will be fulfilled in 490 years, the meaning of this prophecy will be much easier to understand. Daniel is told that first, there will be seven sevens for the rebuilding of the streets and etc. Then there will be next 62 sevens. And after, no Pacific time, those, the 62 sevens, they do not include the period of time after them. The prophecy is very clear. Tells of events that will take place in terms of when an exact number of sevens have passed. Then the word after is very important, which now we know the word after is approximately 35 years after the Acts period, before the Messiah was cut off, careth, and he has nothing, totally rejected. Now, in conclusion here this morning, I think we must ask ourselves, can the first 7 weeks be considered in the counting process, even during a period of low MI? We have two choices. Do we set the beginning of the 7 weeks when Scripture says they begin? Or do we set the beginning to our own characterization of what low MI period is? And I tried to show you the two low MI periods, Old Testament and New Testament, are not exactly the same. The Bible says that the first 7 weeks began at the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That commandment was issued at the request of Nehemiah while Israel was in captivity, or that is to say, Lo Ami. In short, we have on one hand the definite statement of Scripture, that is to say, the first 7 weeks began at the sending forth of the commandment, and on the other hand, we have the assumption that the Old Testament Lo Ami period must be treated the same as the present one. In conclusion, there is no question that Israel was Lo Ami when the commandment was sent forth. The question is, can God fulfill his own stated time for when the weeks began, even when Israel was Lo Ami at the time it was sent forth? This is my final thought. I believe the commandment has absolutely nothing to do with the prophecy. If counting of the 70 weeks does not begin at the going forth of the commandment, and if the order of the 70 weeks are not kept in the same order and the same arrangement the Holy Spirit has written them. Now, I thoroughly realize that some statements or some of my thoughts this morning do not conform to the Bereans' concept on the 70 weeks. And I will acknowledge that the Bereans' view may be 100% correct. However, I have tried to adhere to the Scripture and all my statements that I give to you this morning. And hopefully I have not presented any false or untrue thoughts here this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the privilege of coming and studying thy word together with this group here this morning. We pray that you'll continue to send the Holy Spirit to us to reveal thy truth, that things that we say and that are not pleasing to thee and not according to thy will, please, you'll blot them out. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.